right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
I'm a sure run. That's a pen.
I'm a quarterback. You kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing wall. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Texas Card House. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
We are the only live local and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, on the text line. On Twitter at PCreighton1, at Jason Braddock. Aaron Rabel on the other side of the glass at the master controls, at Aaron is Blitzed, at ESPN 97.5. Of course, it is the Late Hit Sports Bar on an Ask Us Anything Friday. And these are the rules of Sports Bar. Number one, you are permitted to call and ask on anything. So there's no topic restriction. We'll take all calls on anything. When you call, you must crack open your drink. So whether you're cracking open your can or popping your bottle or whatever you're doing, you must open your drink on air and then go into your point. You end your call with Mike Fiers is a bitch. And, of course, enjoy your beverages. Now, if you're listening and you're not on the phone, every time somebody calls in and we take a call, well, take a drink. We might as well. I mean, this is what we would do on a Friday, right? We would go hang out at the bar and have a couple of drinks and wings. And big shout out to my man Sam and his staff over at Big City Wings for all the wings and fries tonight so we can have the Late Hit Sports Bar. If you're looking for wings or fries or crawfish or drink specials like margaritas or other alcohol to go, Big City Wings. There's several locations around the city. The one that I usually go to is the one at the Marquee. Go get yourself some wings. Aaron, Jason, and I are all about to eat lots of wings tonight and fries.
Yeah, so when you do call in, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, it's not going to be your typical sports radio call-in. We want you to come into the sports bar, crack open your beer. If you you smoke them if you got them as well. Call in, plan to stay on the line for a couple minutes as far as talking with us, shoot the breeze with us, and have a little bit of fun as if you were going to your regular sports bar. We have some other people stepping into the Late Hit Sports Bar tonight. Holly Seymour with the latest on the XFL at 7:15. Jerry Bo Knows on the poker tournament that him and Fred Fowler are throwing for charity tomorrow. And you can find out more details on that by going to Sports Map and reading the details there. He'll give you more information live at 8:15 as well. My guy Chris Kennedy joins us at 9:15. One of the brightest young fantasy minds in all of fantasy sports. He's going to break down not only the latest Texans moves and what they mean for you in this coming up fantasy football season, but all of the big moves around the NFL.
Now, Aaron, I understand there's some kind of shaming that needs to be done to get Jason and I to play in this tournament. I mean, you really don't have to shame Jason. You just got to invite him.
Yeah, basically. I've been told to make sure I give you guys enough crap that you are bullied into joining this tournament because even I'm playing in it.
Oh, you're playing in this one.
Yeah, I'm actually about to do this whole Cash App thing and send off my money and get registered with Jerry Bo.
And how much is this thing?
It's $60. So $50 of your entry goes into the prize pool, and $10 goes to the charities that we're working with.
So y'all want me to throw away $60?
Well, it's not throwing it away. You said what, 50% is going to the charity?
No, $50.
$50
of your entry goes to the prize pool for us, for players. $10 of it goes to the charities that we're working with.
All right, awesome. Yeah, I'll be in it.
Just donate $10 to the charity. That's probably the way for me to go.
Oh, bah humbug. Come on, crack open your beer. You'll get loose with your money. Did you already crack open your beer,
Aaron? I'm almost done with my first. I'm about to actually open up a special one that AJ dropped off for me and from our friends at 11 Below Brewing.
Oh, nice. Did you get another crowler?
No, it's not that size. It's just a small, actual, normal size can for me.
I've found out in life, if a man comes to work with a shirt that says beer on it, he's a professional drinker.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could get paid to do it. But
There you go. There you go. But we do have a lot in store on the show tonight. We did mention Holly Seymour joining us in the next segment to talk XFL. And there's been some XFL news that's come out today.
Well, the XFL is dead. Long live the XFL. You know what? That sounds toastable. I think we'll begin for that one.
Houston, why can't we have nice things? You have a football team that goes undefeated. They don't even get to play in the championship. And then it's like, just shut the whole league down.
Unrecognized champions of the XFL. So that's the problem. Unrecognized champions.
Right. I mean, if the league is banished, you have to have at least one champion. Crown them.
The least they could have done was crown the Roughnecks.
Right.
XFL. That's the least they could have done.
You owe it to them. They went undefeated. They beat who they needed to beat. They were the best team in the league. Give them their championship, especially if you want to close down the doors on the league.
You know, and the word kind of came down, I'll say this morning, the word came down that the XFL was shuttering operations, laying off the entire staff.
Mm.
And the worst part about it was had no plans to play next season. Now, that's the part that I think over the course of the night we are going to discuss quite a bit. The fact that they have no plans to play next year. Because unlike the AAF, the XFL had money behind it.
Mm-hmm.
They had lots of money behind it.
TV package.
Funding was not an issue. It wasn't a situation where, you know, Charlie Ebersol and his broke ass was the one who was trying to put the league together. You know, and they had to go find an investor like the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes to go dump money into the league week one.
With the AAF you referred to.
Right, with the AAF. Vince McMahon had, you know, he got tons of money behind him. And, you know, the statement from WWE earlier today was, given the uncertainty of the current environment, the XFL has suspended operations and is evaluating next steps. Now, evaluating next steps apparently was laying everyone off and saying that they're not going to come back and play next year. That seems to be... Now, look, when they shut down the league after the 5 weeks, mm-hmm. we all understood why.
Right.
To say that they're not going to play next year already is... I think that's a bold statement and not necessarily in a good way.
Well, let me use you as a sounding board. Let me bounce something off of here. When this league started up, or even before it started up, we were discussing this. And I told you, I said, what I like about the XFL is not only is it a spring league, but they're also set up to get that first year out of the way, get all the kinks worked out. And I honestly thought there would be a lockout, that the NFL wouldn't get the CBA in place. So I thought it was ingenious timing for Vince McMahon and everyone involved to roll out this XFL the year before the current NFL CBA was expired. Because if there wasn't going to be football for a different reason than why we might not have football right now, then it would play right into the strength of the XFL, because you would be fiending come 2021 for the XFL season, and then 2022 if it lasted beyond that. So I thought that was a genius play for it. Do you think?
If you think about it, the NFLPA has been prepping their members for almost 3 years.
Exactly.
Save your money. Don't go into big long-term loans. Don't get involved in any business ventures. Save your money. There's gonna be a lockout.
Yep.
You need to be prepared. For almost 3 years, that was their message.
And when you combine that the CBA was reached and there's going to be labor peace for another decade, with the fact of the coronavirus and COVID-19 shutting down the leagues and possible leagues getting pushed back, the NFL actually could get pushed back onto the toes or into the season of the XFL if there was one coming next year. So the CBA, the lockout didn't go the way they planned. Then you got COVID-19. I think it further makes me believe what I believe that the onset was that when Vince McMahon reloaded for XFL 2.0 was that he had the belief that there could be a lockout and it would benefit his league. Now you don't have that. And then on top of that, you get hit with the pandemic. I just think it was two strikes and you're out.
So even with the idea of the NFL not having the lockout, if we looked at what the XFL's pay rate was last year, I mean, it was like $55,000.
Yeah.
Guys on the practice squad make more money than that.
Sure.
In 5 weeks.
Well, that's fair, but, I mean, you think about guys like P.J. Walker, Edmund Robinson, DeMarcus Gates, Storm Norton, the tackle that I talked before the season began as one of my favorite in the league. He just signed a 2-year deal with the Chargers. None of these guys, or at least the vast majority, I would say over 90%, are ever getting a second chance or really a true first chance to get back into the NFL if the XFL doesn't happen. So the people I feel bad for are these players that are the next P.J. Walker, the next Edmund Robinson, the next Daron Smith, all these different guys that needed this platform just to remind the NFL people out there, like, hey, it's not just about the free agents coming to the market, trades, and the college prospects coming up. You still have other guys that were just in the wrong situation, wasn't given the practice reps or snaps or under the right coaches that believed in them, that just got washed out the league, that could play in this league. Those are the guys I feel bad for.
And we've seen that those guys do exist, and it does go to show you how much the right opportunity makes a difference for guys in whether or not they actually get a legit, fair opportunity to shine.
Sure.
But all the XFL has laid everybody off. They've essentially shut it down. And, you know, it's kind of sad because this is a league that had it had some promise. It had a product that was viable. And no, it was not comparable to the NFL. It was not meant to rival the NFL. But it was essentially minor league football in the football offseason, and especially in here in Houston, in Dallas, and St. Louis. It had a really strong following. It had a strong following, I think, everywhere except really L.A. L.A. didn't draw much.
Well, L.A. doesn't draw for their professional. Well, I mean, the NFL.
The Chargers are bastard sons of L.A. So.
Right. I mean, they're putting two hard knocks out there, I guess, hoping to get the combined audience of one. You know what I mean?
They'd have done a better job if they just put the L.A. team out there and just called them the Trojans and dressed them up in the red and yellow. They would have drawn.
But, nice.
With the Wildcats, which I think every fourth college team in the country is the Wildcats. Nobody cared about that one particular team in L.A., but everywhere else, I think the league drew really well. And I think we saw from the AAF places like San Antonio drew extremely well, and that was a viable market. So this – and I said a lot of this has to do more with the economic crisis than anything else, but it's – Two spring leagues in back-to-back years that crash and burn.
Right.
Different reasons, much different reasons, but two leagues that die. There was talk about, what, 2 to 3 other leagues that were trying to get together that never got off the ground. This might be the nail in the coffin for spring football for a really long time.
Unless the NFL ever decides, like, hey, we want a minor league. We see the value of bringing guys like P.J. Walker, Cam Phillips, Storm Norton, these guys, giving them an opportunity to develop and bring them back into the game, having that type of film out there on 26-year-olds. You know what I mean? Like, guys that can still play and could still have a nice future in the league. They see the value. The NFL has to back a minor league for it to ever succeed. This was probably the best shot at it in recent year with this XFL 2.0. It's folded, and it's not really all their fault. I mean, I would say the majority of it fell outside of the parameters they expected. I don't think Vince McMahon, when he planned this, said this league will fold because a pandemic hits unlike anything we've seen.
Well, there is a lot of really interesting info that you're going to learn about on the XFL coming up next when Holly Seymour, she's our ESPN 97.5. She's been our XFL Roughnecks reporter, and she's got news.
And she's already been drinking. So come on into the sports bar, Holly.
Next.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Texas Card House. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
So we're in the Late Hit Sports Bar. Big thanks to Big City Wings for all our wings and food. Thanks to Aaron Raybould for the beers in the fridge. Strong, thank you. And right now, on the HRMP hotline, she's our XFL reporter, does a terrific job, and man, she's got the goods, Holly Seymour. Hey, Holly, I hear that the Holly Sports Bar kicks our sports bar's ass.
Hey, man, I was going to crack open something for you guys, but you can't hear it. I've been drinking since, like, noon, but I do have a drink next to me, so I'm in here with you guys.
Awesome.
I'm participating 100%.
So, you got the word pretty early. How did this all come down? Like, how did people find out this was going down?
Okay, so there was a little bit of rumor and chatter going on this morning. And then the ESPN alert hit everybody. And I was like, oh, so it wasn't just rumor. So, of course, me, you know, I'm digging. I'm reaching. I already had a few people reach out to me. So I got on my little phone calls, researched for you guys. And apparently, there was a 9-minute phone call this morning with not the players, but the employees of the XFL. And what they were told was they were going to listen. They were to turn in all of their stuff, and they had to follow some rules and guidelines. And they were told not to ask any questions on this conference call.
Jeez.
And at the end of this conference call, they literally had the VP hang up on them. It was literally a no question to ask. Like, here's what you have to do. It's done. League is over. Sorry.
That's pretty militant.
Yeah, it was kind of unexpected since, you know, usually people give you a little bit of a heads up. They're like, hey, guys might want to look for a new job. Things are kind of going to end soon. But apparently it was very unexpected. I also talked to a few players, and they noticed that they did get a little bit more on their paycheck today, this morning. Which tells me, now I don't know all of the details on this. I still have them that are reaching out to HR trying to get answers, and they'll relay them back to me when they get them. Apparently, they were supposed to get paid through May 31st. However, with the added money that they, additional money they got on this paycheck today, it rises a little bit of concern that that might have been their last paycheck. So again, I'll keep you guys posted when I get that.
So
there's been a lot going on.
They got extra pay, almost like it was like termination pay.
Kind of, yeah. And I don't know. Like, I didn't want to get into people's personal business. One particular player did give me his exact amount. Some of the other players weren't like as detailed with it, so I don't know if it's a percentage of their salary or if everybody got just a set extra additional added on to their paycheck. But I did confirm it with different players that this paycheck was higher today. So I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming that's going to be their last paycheck. And
Seeing
as HR isn't really contacting them right now, that's probably what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what it sounds like. I mean, if it's the point to where nobody's reaching out to you and you get extra pay at a time that a league's shutting down, it would definitely lead to speculation that they're just not going to see that payment up to May 31st. We also had heard that XFL players were going to wait to sign until their pay with the XFL runs out, and they would wait to sign with the NFL. So I want to get your thoughts on this, Holly, because I didn't think it was a coincidence that one of the most highly sought-after offensive tackles in the XFL, Storm Norton, who hadn't signed, signed today, signed a two-year deal with the Chargers today, and it comes right on the back of, you know, first me hearing the report of the league being shut down, and now us hearing from you live on Late Hits tonight that players are getting a little bit of extra pay in there without explanation why. With Storm Norton signing, it makes me feel, combining or reading all the tea leaves, that this could be the end of it and they don't see any extra pay. So are there other players that have talked about that haven't signed with NFL teams that now they're going to look that route a little bit further?
So I do know that one of your Roughnecks here in Houston, Savion Smith, he did actually sign today as well.
Oh, wow.
So that makes me kind of, that he signed with the Dallas Cowboys, actually.
Oh, congrats.
So I congratulated them, but also gave him a hard time because I was like, that sucks, but congratulations.
Right, right.
But I kind of think that, I think it's unexpected, but now I think that agents are jumping all on it now because, like I said, it's a little bit of information, just knowing that they got a little bit extra on their paycheck, but that says a lot because that tells all of us, you know, this is probably the end. And with the XFL saying, so abruptly, we went from, like you guys were saying earlier in the show, we went from hearing, oh, it's postponed to 2021, which, okay, we understood that. We were upset, but it's understandable, to now it's completely canceled. So I wanted to look more into that as well. So I want to prepare you guys for some bad news right now. So kind of hold on to your seats here because I don't want to believe this. But I also did talk to some of these same people, too, and got this from multiple people as well. Now, I don't know, but this is what I'm being told, along with the conversation I've been hearing with all of this, that there was also a conference call between McMahon and Roger Goodell.
Oh.
And, yeah. So, and apparently, Roger, like I said, this is just what I'm hearing, but Roger Goodell apparently wanted XFL shut down because NFL is going to be canceling or postponed.
Ooh.
And they wanted to be the ones that once all this pandemic was over, whenever stadiums and crowds were allowed, we were allowed in big groups again, NFL wanted to be the first one to host that. So if it was to continue, XFL would be the first one to open back up. And NFL didn't want that. I'm not saying anything, but I was speculating a little bit. Again, this part is all my speculation on this end. If you abruptly shut down something, that kind of tells me that maybe there was a little payoff going on to be like, hey, you close your league, I'm gonna throw you a little bit of hush money, and we'll start our league when we want. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, that part's speculation on my end, but I was told that NFL, that there was some kind of talk between Goodell and McMahon.
Now, would certainly
that was another thing I got out of this.
The, you know, extreme haste with which the league was just shut down today. Like you said, no warning, no anything. Nobody was expecting this. And then all of a sudden, in what you said, a 9-minute phone call, here's how you're going to turn in all your stuff, get out, bye.
No questions. We're not answering any questions either. That tells me this was all done recently, and it was all a hush-hush. It's shut down. We'll start over when we can. To be continued, but as of right now, we're going to do what we're told to do. It's canceled. That's how I'm looking at the situation from what I'm being told.
But that is huge, the idea that the NFL would be considering postponing the league for the fall, because they're not talking like that at all. That would be totally different direction from everything that's being reported right now based on, you know, an inside conversation between Roger Goodell and Vince McMahon of, you shut your league down, and when we come back, we're going to be the first league out there with stuff. And I tell you, there's two things here that kind of stand out. One, like you mentioned, was there a payoff? Because I'd have to believe there had to be a payoff if that conversation took place. And the second part is, would the NFL consider having a spring season? Because otherwise, you know, I mean, it's not like the XFL is in any way a threat to the NFL.
Yeah.
So unless the NFL, like you said, like they were, you know, they were going to postpone or cancel this season, would they be looking at a potential spring season? Because if everything that I've read from every medical journal says that they anticipate a vaccine for COVID-19 like next spring.
Wow, that long.
It's that long. It's next spring. It's like April of 2021, which means that the first sport back would likely have been baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So if the NFL is trying to be the first sport back, could they potentially be looking at a winter/spring league?
Well, I didn't want to believe it because I'm still trying. I'm hoping that that's fake news. And I'm hoping, although I did hear it from multiple sources, that this conversation did happen. But I am hoping that it's fake news because nobody wants to hear that. But what I'm thinking right now is NFL plans to have this virtual draft. So they're hyping this up and they want to go with the virtual draft as planned. So they want to give everybody some positivity. And I honestly feel like they're going to drag it out until the absolute last minute when they have to pull out and say, hey, guys, you know what? We're just going to have to cancel or postpone the NFL till 2021. Which kind of like, as of this moment, the way things are going, I'm looking at it like, okay, NFL can start maybe a little bit delayed because we have to cancel OTAs and training. So we might be a little bit delayed, but then when you start looking at it logically and realistically with what's going on, it kind of makes sense now, because if we go any further past delaying it to the end of October, now you're pushing NFL, and now we're going to have to automatically shorten the season or cancel, postpone it, because you can only go so many months pushing it back. So it kind of makes sense. And like I said, for the XFL to just completely, one day we were completely fine, and then, boom, it's got to all be done. Something happened somewhere.
Well,
so if this rumor is going around, and I hear this from multiple people, I don't want to believe it, but a part of me has to believe a little bit of it.
Yeah, if we keep piecing this together, you're talking about everything coming together rather quickly. I think it was just, was it earlier this week, P. Creighton, or was it last week that you talked about Donald Trump meeting with what you called the five families of the
major sports? That was Sunday.
That was Sunday. And then here we are, end of the week, same week, and now Roger Goodell, who I'm assuming was on that call with Donald Trump, is having a call reportedly with Vince McMahon and the XFL.
Who
shuts
was
down.
Also on that call, by the way.
Wow, and shuts I'm down so, 5 days
I'm
later.
I'm so glad, Jason, I'm very glad that you said that, because the more and more I was trying to piece all this together before I got everything to send to you guys and to report to you guys, and I was like, you know what, Roger Goodell, Robert Kraft, people like that are really close with Trump. They know more than we know.
Right.
So they've got to be reaching out to him. I guarantee he was a part of one of these calls. They have to be. They know more than we know.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the scary part about it, because we want to stay positive, and we want to look. We have to have something positive to look forward to. So we're all like, oh, yes, we're going to have college football, damn it.
Right.
We're going to have NFL. Then when I heard this, it's like it kind of ruined my day, because I was like, I didn't want to report this to you guys.
No, and I mean, it makes a lot of sense, Holly, because if Trump's having a phone call, then 5 days later this happens and everything. If he has the phone call with all the different owners, different people running the leagues and all the sports franchises, it makes sense that no matter if you follow politics or not, which I don't really follow politics, but I know enough out of Hollywood, you know, simulating politics and movies and everything, that everything you see in movies and TV show is that they always try to figure out the way to keep the people, the American people, calm. And the best way to keep them calm with all this going on is just keep that carrot out there in front of them. Like, you know, hey, football could be coming back. Baseball could be back soon. Basketball could, and you keep putting that out there. So it just looks like, hey, this ain't, if they came out right now and say, hey, listen, everybody, we're screwed until next year. I mean, it really sends a bad signal, and people really start getting depressed, and they're like, man, I don't know if I can make it like this for another 12 months. But if you keep dangling that carrot out there a couple weeks, a month at a time, it makes a lot of sense. But with what you're saying, with the phone call Trump had, with the XFL getting shut down today, it's really starting to seem like we should be pessimistic instead of optimistic about seeing sporting events returning anytime soon.
Hey, keep dangling that carrot, though. I'm going to keep drinking. I'm going to keep pretending I didn't hear what I'm reporting to you guys, and I'm not going to listen back to the podcast.
There you go.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But, I mean, yeah. So, like I said, I mean, this is the one time that I really do hope that I am wrong. But, of course, I want to let you guys know everything I hear directly from sources inside, whether it be players or coaches or PR or inside the head office. I'm going to let you guys know, and I want to keep it up front with you guys. So
great.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Nah, I mean, we appreciate you find out the information, you report it, and we appreciate the job you do.
Thank you, guys.
Holly, appreciate you. That's some big news. That is some really big news. Always appreciate you. Holly Seymour, our XFL reporter here at ESPN 97.5. Follow her on Twitter at XOHolly. She kind of dropped the Woj bomb.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, the idea of did Roger Goodell and Vince McMahon basically have a conversation where they talked about this abrupt shutdown of the XFL? That sounds like a conspiracy. And we all know that conspiracies actually happen all the time. How legit is this? You know what? We'll get into that next. You may be a natural woman. You
may be a natural woman. You may Blood and Red Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Texas Card House. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
So we just had Holly Seymour on, who covers the XFL for us here at ESPN 97.5. And she dropped the bomb of bombs on the XFL.
You dropped the bomb on me, baby.
You don't remember that one either, do you?
Oh, no, I do.
Okay.
I want to say that one was 82. Because you asked about My Sharona before. My Sharona was 79.
Oh, it was My Sharona, not My Corona.
Yeah, My Sharona was released in 79. Even though it's always on the 80s channel, it's actually from 79.
Well, you post the roundup.
But Holly Seymour dropping the bomb on the XFL that there was reportedly a conference call between Roger Goodell of the NFL and Vince McMahon, WWE XFL owner. And not long after that phone call, the XFL very abruptly shuts its doors. A 9-minute conference call with the vice president of the XFL to tell all the league employees, we're done. This is how you're going to turn in your stuff. Bye. And hangs up.
Yeah. Then we got the tweet on social media that was stating that the WWE just announced today that they canceled their May pay-per-view.
Well, and you think about what went on with WrestleMania, how.
And I told you my thoughts on it.
But WrestleMania is the biggest wrestling event of the year.
Sure.
Every year. And there will be over 100,000 people at WrestleMania, because normally WrestleMania isn't just that one day's event. There's WrestleMania is Sunday night, and that's the Raw and the SmackDown brand. But on Saturday night, you've got the NXT brand, big giant event. You also have the WWE Hall of Fame inductions, which usually go on Friday night, and that's a really big event. They've also got all kinds of parties and events and stuff going on for like 5 days. It draws in hundreds of thousands of people for all these events because you don't have to have a WrestleMania ticket to get a ticket for some of these other things. So there's so much that goes on this 5-day window around WrestleMania. They make a killing. They made zero on that this year. And, you know, much like they always do with WWE Network, you know, it's $9.99 a month, and it has been since it came out, however many. It's got to be like, how long is WWE Network a thing now? It's got to be at least 7 years, right?
That long?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be like at least 7 years by this point. And
you know what?
They always give away that first month for free, and you can cancel at any time. So you can get the first month, cancel, and just have, like, just say, like, I watched WrestleMania, but then I cancel it. I don't have to watch anything else. They're really trying hard to put enough other content on WWE Network to get the wrestling fan to stay. But, I mean, if you're paying $10 a month for WWE, you're a pretty hardcore wrestling fan. And some of the stuff they have on there is actually really good. But if you're not a hardcore fan, are you going to watch that over Netflix or Hulu or HBO Go? I mean, there's so much competition, especially right now, for, you know, content on streaming services, because that's all anybody's doing is watching streaming services.
Right.
But the idea that there was a call between Roger Goodell and Vince McMahon, and Roger Goodell told Vince, I want you to shut down the XFL, because when we were allowed to go back into stadiums, we want to be first. Man, that sounds like a conspiracy to me. Here is Jeff Passan talking about how, like, right now, all the leagues say, like, they want to play, how it kind of comes off looking kind of bad. I'm a bad person. I interrupted wing eating.
Oh, is that what it was?
And I don't play. I mean, look, the wings from Big City Wings, they are freaking awesome. And, I'm, you know, when we were in wind breaks, I'm like shoving as many down my face as I possibly can. So I was a bad person. I didn't really give Aaron a real heads up. I just kind of threw to it. And he was busy eating wings from Big City Wings. And I should have been more respectful. That's my bad, Aaron. That is my bad.
It's all good. I should have been, you know, I should have been doing two things at once. But damn.
It's wings. Hard to. Wings, man. It's hard. Wings. Here's Jeff Passan.
You have all these competing enterprises that want to look at what's happening in the real world, but don't want to lose the perspective of what's going on in their sport. And it just feels almost greedy that they're trying to go back out there and play, even though there are so many people out there who want that to happen.
And there are a lot of people who want sports to come back in. Pretty much they're all billionaires. But there's a lot of people who want sports back.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's just pretty much all billionaires. I think a lot of people that are just so tired of just sitting at home or watching streaming services, they want something competitive, something sports worthy to watch. And I don't think it's greedy. I understand where he's coming from with the comments, but I don't think this is greed. This is their business. Everybody else in business wants their business back as soon as possible as well. And the fact that they're billionaires means they're probably losing more money than a lot of these other businesses. I have no issues with the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL, any of these leagues trying to get back to work and make money at what they do. Just as I don't have a problem with anybody else in this country that's sitting there stressing like, hey, I'm losing way too much money in my own personal business right now, and I need to get back to doing what I do to make money.
See, I do have a problem with it, because how many people are you putting at risk by slamming all those people together, especially in sports where, you know what, sweat flies, spit flies, bodies rub together. There's not exactly a social distant way of playing sports.
Well, here's the thing.
Except maybe golf.
There's not a social distance way of most of us getting back to work, and that's why we're all on lockdown. We're all quarantined. So everybody else in any other line of work is trying to figure out, hey, how do we get back to work? The sports world is trying to figure out, hey, how do we get back to work without involving fans? It's the same thing any of the rest of us are doing, and just because they're billionaires, I don't fault them anymore, because billionaires run all these other companies as well, too, and they all want to get back to work.
Yeah, but if your way of making money means you're putting regular people at risk, screw you. How you're a freaking billionaire. You can afford it.
They're not going to play the games with fans. They're not going to play games with fans.
You're still putting players together.
Well, that's the other thing.
What sports got the most guys with COVID-19?
Well,
NBA.
If you go back to work, you're still putting people back at work together.
So they can get sick and then be unemployed again.
Okay, so I mean, it's the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing.
All right, we got to hit a break. When we come back, you explain the difference to me from them wanting to get paid and from somebody working down the street wanting to get paid.
And we'll also hear from Adrian Wojnarowski on what it might take to get sports back. Next.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Texas Card House. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
Late Hits, ESPN 97.5's Late Hits Sports Bar. Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock with you. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN.
And the Late Hit Sports Bar was a genius idea by Aaron Raybould, who's been producing for us, I would say 75% of the week, the last couple of weeks. Genius idea for no other reason. The wings that you're bringing in from Big City Wings, trying to stuff, like you said, as many in as possible during the break.
So a big thanks to Sam and the crew out of Big City Wings. For feeding us tonight. And you know what? They got great wings. They got crawfish specials. They got all kinds of margarita specials. So you can get a gallon of margarita and bring it home.
Good Lord.
You know, go check them out over at Big City Wings. Say hi to the crew.
We appreciate Holly Seymour chiming in here in the first hour with the latest going on with the XFL. We'll have our guy Chris Kennedy in the third hour tonight, talking about the latest moves with the Houston Texans this offseason, fantasy related, him taking us around the NFL. But in the next hour, you probably heard Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman talking a lot about the charity poker tournament that's going on tomorrow. Find out more information on how to get signed up and registered. Please do not wait to the last minute for this. It's going to be a great event. You can go to sportsmap.com. It'll have all the information on there for you. But if you want it live, we'll have Jerry Bow. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerry Bow Knows. He's been the staple behind putting this together with Fred Fowler. He'll join us here in the second hour to speak on everything going on in the event.
I can't compare billionaires to regular people.
Okay.
Not in any way, shape, or form. Regular people want to get to work because they want to do something, because they're looking at their bank account, which doesn't have a lot of money in it, if it has any money in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at their bills. All right. Their mortgage company or their landlord is not necessarily giving them a break. Well, first of the month, it's due. All right. Your car, the company that holds your car loan. Well, first of the month, it's due.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got to pay your utilities. You got to pay your credit cards. Whatever you've got going on for your kids. None of these places, everybody wants their money. And if you're a regular person and you've been out of work for maybe about a month now,
mm-hmm.
because the whole city's been shut down, and your hope, you know, your unemployment check, what does unemployment max out at? 500 a week, 600 a week? That's not, you know, that's a lot less than what people normally make. And you don't get that unless you are making more than that. If you only made $400 a week,
right.
then
significantly
you, know, you
more
get
in
a little
cases.
Less.
Right.
So the idea of, you know, regular people want to be able to feed their families.
Okay.
They want to put a roof over their heads. They want to do something that they have to do because they're trying to support a family. A billionaire ain't trying to support anything. All right. And they're looking to make their money off the backs of the people who go out and work for their 40 or 50 grand a year. They want to just keep getting rich off of all the regular people. If anybody can afford economic downturn, it's somebody worth $10 billion friggin' dollars.
All right. All that sounds well and good. I've never been on the side of defending billionaires.
But you're there.
Nope, I'm not, actually. I'm on the side of this not being greedy to wanting to get back to business. You can talk about them being billionaires and that they're not trying to feed their family and they're not trying to keep a roof over their head. They have stadiums, arenas that they have to pay for. They've got
but
salaries.
They're not necessarily
hold on,
paying
hold on.
For those.
I gave
those
you,
are municipal stadiums.
I just gave you 3 minutes. Give me 30 seconds.
Well, you have to have actual factual information.
I am. All right. So you have to pay for arenas. You're going, you could go an entire year losing your sport, everything that you're making money, and you don't care because they're a billionaire if they lose a couple $1 million a day. You don't care because they're a billionaire. I understand that. What I'm saying is, and I'm not telling you to care about the billionaires hemorrhaging money because of all this. What I'm telling you is that it's not greedy that they don't want to take their life, what they've done, build up to be a billionaire, save this money, buy a franchise, make all this money, and just start hemorrhaging tens of millions of dollars because you can't get back to work. So then, with you being concerned about your own billions of dollars, you decide, hey, I want to get back to work and quit losing this money. While you might not be concerned with it, I'm pretty sure the billionaires are concerned with losing a healthy chunk of their money. Now, it's not comparing the billionaires and the owners of these franchises and the owners or the GMs that run these leagues and everything, commissioners. It's not fair to compare them with the average Joe walking down the street that's living paycheck to paycheck. What we're comparing and what this conversation started with was it greedy? And absolutely, it's not greedy to want to look at how you can get back to work and pay your employees in any walk of life.
Well, considering our current environment where people are dying, and I mean, one of my buddies in New York finally came home from the hospital.
Okay.
He's still on oxygen.
Uh-huh.
But he's finally home from the hospital after 3 weeks.
Okay.
Because of coronavirus, where we are seeing how many people in the world of sports or related to the world of sports either infected with COVID-19, fighting COVID-19, dying from COVID-19. The idea of putting people together, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, whatever sport you want to call it, okay, that you're going to put all these people together, the teams, the coaching staffs, the trainers, the officials, the broadcast crews.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put all these people together in basically flip the bird at the CDC and say, whatever your guidelines are, bleep you, we don't care, because we need to make money. Bleep all of y'all. You know what? That's freaking greedy.
No, that's just...
That is greedy, it is reckless, and it's putting people's lives in danger.
No, it's not.
Thank you. It's not.
Because guess what? It's not like, okay, say we open up the NBA.
Yeah.
Every dollar that comes into Toyota Center is not going to Tillman's pocket.
Right.
You've got the guy hucking popcorn.
Check.
You've got the chick working the merchandise stand selling Harden and Westbrook jerseys. Those people need their money, and
those
it gets them back
won't
to work.
Be there because there'll be no fans in the building.
But here's
but
the thing.
But that's the thing, is that there can be. The answer isn't, do we shut down and for how long? The answer is, at what point does it become necessary to open up? Because a herd immunity needs to adapt at some point. When we have testing, you need to be able to test people and go, you know what? It's already passed through your system. You can't get it again. Let's let all those people back out into the world.
We don't even know that yet.
But
that's what scientists are working
on.
Right, but they're working on it.
Well, that's
we don't
thing.
Have enough
but that's
testing
the thing
right
is,
now.
Well, here's the thing. What you're
billionaires
saying.
Billionaires never think right now.
They
think 10
months.
Steps
yes,
ahead.
Absolutely.
And they're thinking 10 steps ahead when we get enough testing where we can get a third of the country who already has it passed through their system and they're good. Cool. Can we get them back into our stadiums?
Because
they're
right,
not
so,
going to catch
so
it anyway.
So what you're saying is 10 steps ahead is next month.
We don't
possibly.
Know yet.
We don't
possibly.
Know how fast things are going.
You and Jeff Passan are killing from being greedy for planning and throwing out alternatives. They haven't done one thing. They're planning. They're talking about it, and they're greedy for planning and talking about how getting back to work. Everybody is planning and talking about how to get back to work. They're not greedy because they're billionaires.
Weren't you just saying the other day how you got a text from somebody who said, hey, I made $270 on my shift in Uber, and how you would never do that right now because you wouldn't let people in your car?
Yes, me personally, I wouldn't. What
okay,
does that have to do with this?
What essentially are you doing? You're taking a bunch of people and putting them all in one car.
What?
If you take all the basketball players,
uh-huh.
all the baseball players,
uh-huh.
all the football players, you put them together, you don't think there's a risk?
There's risk.
And as soon as one person gets sick, what happens?
There's risk about everything
yes.
you do in life.
That is
not only that, it's their freedom.
Everything is risk reward. There's no reward here. There's risk, and then there's crap. We got to shut it down. There's crap. We're getting sued. When we have legitimate, sufficient testing, and we actually have, I don't know, a vaccine, then maybe it's safe to put people in buildings.
Right.
In the meantime, I don't even want to go anywhere.
Then let's hide from the boogeyman. Always.
The boogeyman doesn't kill people. This does.
How many people are going to lose their jobs, lose all their finances, and kill themselves because of it? Because they don't see a way out.
Thanks, President Trump, but that's not necessarily going to happen.
Suicide is an option. Look at the Great Depression. People killed themselves over losing every dollar
right.
they ever
Forget
had.
Forget I lived through that. You know,
you lived through the Great Depression.
No,
wow.
in 2007,
wow. 2020.
If you let me finish a sentence instead of being a smartass.
Y'all getting so upset.
I lived through the financial meltdown, okay? I was in that industry, all right? My company was basically owned by Lehman Brothers. We all died. with no warning, because the head of Lehman thought he was for sure getting a bailout from the government. When it didn't come, we all died overnight. And then every other part of that business died too. So yes, I'm aware some people will commit suicide. That's also, everything happened in a matter of, what, like a week? We've been dealing with this since January. We've been dealing with it on an extreme level for a month. People are already losing their jobs. We see other countries that are actually paying people to stay home. We see other countries. I'm not talking about BS third world countries. Actual like allies
with
of
much
ours.
Smaller populations.
They have a lot less money. We're the richest country in the world by a mile. We have more than everybody else. And it's all tied up in the same little group of people who never want to lay a purse hair out of it. So you know what? If a billionaire goes from $10 billion to 9 3/8 billion because of the virus, I really don't care. I'm way more concerned about people actually, I don't know, freaking living than that. Oh, well, if they don't have a job, well, one in like 90 million might throw themselves off a bridge.
We've got to get to a break.
Left me here with sand in my bed. She played me all night long, but I do it all over again.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.